Father, we thank you for the life that flows in Catalyst, Lord. It comes from the throne of God. The life that flows in us, O Lord, because of the Holy Spirit. We ask for your help, Lord. I humbly ask you, Lord, to anoint this word to our hearts. And you continue the mighty work that you're doing here, Lord, that people will be able to say, this is a work of God. It's not a work of man. Because, Lord, in the end, you have decided to wrap your arms around this church. This church is not blessed because of any one man, Lord. It's blessed because you chose us. You loved us, Lord. You've protected us. Somebody say amen. And you've provided for us, Lord. You've put your blessing on Catalyst, Lord, for which we are eternally grateful. Everyone said amen and amen. I want to kind of pick up where Brother Lee Grady left off last week. What a powerful time we had last Sunday morning and Sunday night. How many of you came Sunday night? Sunday night was powerful, very, very special. And I want to begin, I probably won't finish today, but I want to begin a study on the subject of a life that overflows with the Holy Spirit. A life that overflows with the Holy Spirit. One of the first things that Brother Lee Grady mentioned, if you remember the video or the illustration he showed, he said, get out of the box. Because God's Spirit that's given to us in salvation is never meant to be contained, but it's meant to flow. It's described as a river that flows. The Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is not static. It's not standing still. Somebody say amen. It's accomplishing something. It's working. So we want to understand this a little bit more. A life that overflows with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 first. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. This is Paul the Apostle speaking to the church at Corinth. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We've been saying this verse here for the last few months. I don't know if you noticed, Pastor Angela has mentioned it on Wednesday night. Brother Angel has mentioned it during the worship service. I've mentioned it several times, this particular verse. And how many of you are familiar with this verse? We've recited it many times. But how many of you are familiar with the verse that comes after it? Let's see what it says next. After verse 9 comes verse 10. Somebody say amen. So it says, eye has not seen, ear has not. In other words, you can't even imagine the things that God has prepared, right? But it doesn't stop there. It says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, you can't really totally understand another person unless you're completely in their body. All right? The spirit that's in your life is the radar, is the functioning mechanism in your life, and everybody has one. Everybody has a spiritual part of them. They have a part that's like a control center in their life. The Bible calls it the spirit of man. We've been given a body, a soul, and a spirit. Somebody say amen. That's how we're built, with a body, soul, and spirit. So each one has their own. So God is saying here, nobody can understand the things of a spirit of man, which the things of man completely, unless the spirit of man is in him, is revealing those things. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So if you want to really know God, you have to know God in a spiritual way. That's what's being said here. You can know things technically about God. You can read the theology of God, and you can understand his nature and his attributes. But if you want to know him personally, you have to know him not in the mind, but in the spirit. I think somebody mentioned it before. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping God is not just with our mind. There are thousands and thousands of churches all across America today where people are sitting with a hymn book, and I'm not making fun. Say, Pastor, you're not making fun. And they're singing with it, and they're reading the words of the song, and they're standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down and reading the words of the song, and it never goes beyond here. God is looking for our hearts. He's looking for a spiritual connection with us. Amen? So he says Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But here's the good part. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God has freely given to us. So the blessing we have as Christians is that we have a spiritual connection with God through which all the blessings of God flow into us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms us. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us a new mind. It's the Holy Spirit who changes our attitude. It's the Holy Spirit who makes us more like Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit doing His work inside of us that makes us more alive than we've ever been before, who gives us the abundant life that Jesus talked about. So I want you to think today about the difference between the natural way of looking at God and the natural way we relate to God in a church service, reading hymns, reading the Bible. And I want you to think beyond that to a spiritual connection, a spiritual union with Christ. The Bible says he who receives the Spirit of Christ is one with him in spirit. Say, I am one with Christ in spirit. It's not just in the mind. It's not just my body. It's my spirit that is being given to God, that is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And one more verse in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So when you become a Christian and you start to change, and you're not using the language that you used to have and that sour look on your face that you used to have, and you're not kicking the dog anymore. Come on now. Come on. You're not snapping back at your husband. Your husband's not snapping back at you. Some people would say, what's happened to you? You're crazy. Hallelujah. But I'm a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Hallelujah. They may say, what's happening to you? Why are you praising God? Why are you singing? Why do you have hope? Why are you expecting God to answer your prayer? That's foolish. Because they can only see the natural. They don't see into the spiritual. The world doesn't see what we see. The world doesn't have what we have. We have this connection where God has given us a spirit that makes us alive in Christ. So I want to focus for the next week or two on this issue of growing in our recognition and submission to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. God wants us to grow in our recognition, recognizing that it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and submitting to that work so we can be all that we were meant to be and live with an overflow. Now, I want you to see this for a second. When Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit who was to be given after his resurrection, the way he described it, and Lee Grady mentioned this also last week, is that it would be like a river that flows from within you but flowing out of you. And if you remember, if you weren't here, I'll share this with you just to kind of recap. Brother Grady said that the problem with a lot of wonderful Christians is that they just keep it all within. In other words, they are saved, and you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the agency that saves us. We are born again by the Spirit of God. But then there's the distinction of those who just kind of keep it to themselves and those who want to be more Spirit-filled, and they're baptized with the Spirit, and they're asking more of God's anointing upon their life, and they're willing to forget the natural and willing to even look a little foolish and starting to praise God and starting to share their joy with other people. They're outgoing. They're loving on people. The flow of God is coming out of them. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, give me scripture on that. All right. All right. John chapter 3. This is where Jesus meets Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee and a teacher of the Jewish people, a very brilliant man, a very religious man, but did not understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. So he asked Jesus, he said, we know that you're a great teacher, sent from God, because nobody could do the great miracles you're doing unless God was with him. So here's how Jesus answers. He says, I assure you, No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. You were born of water from your mother's womb. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right? That is a beautiful portrayal of how we're born naturally. We're born in a sack of water. I don't want to get too descriptive here, but you know what I'm talking about, especially you ladies who've had children. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you've been born once naturally, but you've got to be born again spiritually. There's another dimension, Nicodemus, that you and all of your religious people don't understand. Now, can you imagine? There were thousands of scribes and Pharisees in Jerusalem when Jesus was teaching, and none of them understood this because they thought that it was by works they would be saved. If they kept the law, if they followed a kosher diet, if they did all the rituals, if they made sure they kept every letter of the law, kept the Sabbath and did all these things, then they didn't have to worry about their spirit, man. All they had to do is external. It was all external. Are you with me today? But Jesus said, no. You won't even be able to see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Let me go on. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Could it be more clear than that? Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. He's saying this is something that you cannot see with the eye. It's something that's not material. It's something that's spiritual. There are realities in the world that we could use to illustrate this, like electricity, for example. You really can't see electricity, but you can turn a switch and turn it on. Amen? You can't tell which way the wind came from or which way it's going or how the winds are even generated. Even the meteorologists don't totally understand all the currents that are in the world and how they're all generated. Why is this wind blowing this way? Why is it blowing that way? But he said, that's how it is with the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to understand everything about it, but you do need to submit to it. You do need to be born again. Somebody say amen. So Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus draws a contrast between natural things and spiritual things. There's a difference between the natural and the spiritual. We were all created with a human spirit, but that human spirit is the place where God's supposed to live, has been dead because of sin. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sin. So even though we have the capacity for God to live in our hearts, until we allow the Holy Spirit to regenerate our life, the Bible says repent and believe the gospel. When you are sorry for living independently of God and keeping God out of your life and you say, God, whether you are the nicest person in the world, brought up in the nicest family, or whether you're a person who is a serial killer or anything else, the process is the same. It's by faith in what Christ did, not how good I am. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're saved not by our works, by our religion, or our good deeds. We are saved by putting our trust in what Jesus did for us. He did for me what I could not do for myself. Are you with me this morning? And so when we say yes to God, it says in Colossians 2:13, you who were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature, was not yet cut away. In other words, you had an uncircumcised heart. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 3:23. Is it 3:23 or 6:23? 3:10, whatever it is. It's not on my notes. 3:23, thank you. But then it goes on to say, and are redeemed by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ and the redemption that's found in Christ. So once we embrace this new life in Christ, we come under new management. Everybody say, I'm under new management. It's not automatic. You don't grow spiritually automatically. The human nature is already set inside of you. You have a DNA. seed, egg is fertilized, and there's already a determination of how you're going to look, the eye color you have, how tall you'll be, what you look like. You look like mom, you look like dad, you look like your Uncle Harry, whatever. That's all determined. But in the spiritual sense, we receive the seed of Christ through the Holy Spirit when we're born again. But then there's a cooperative process. You don't automatically become a mighty Christian. You don't automatically become a spiritual giant. There's a process of turning away from the natural things, because the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. So every day you have to make a decision. Am I going to give in to my old nature, or am I going to follow the nature of Christ in me? Am I going to listen to what my mind says? This is logical. Or am I going to listen to what the Holy Spirit breathes in my life? We have a choice. And the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more of a spiritual person you become. How many of you want to be a spiritual man, a spiritual woman? I want to be a spiritual person. Romans 8:7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. These are contrary to one another. So because there's this battle inside of me, I'm born with this Adamic nature, because I inherited that from Adam and Eve. Are you with me this morning? I inherited the Adamic nature, the tendency to be self-centered, the tendency to put me first, the tendency to step on the other guy to get ahead. Come on now. I have to make a choice to yield. Am I going to yield to the flesh, or am I going to give in to the Holy Spirit? And the Bible teaches that whatever you yield to on a regular basis will determine the way you look spiritually. I can't change the way I look. I look like my mom. I look like my dad. But I can change the fact that I want to look more and more like Jesus by listening to the Holy Spirit. Because just the same way the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary and created the life of God in her, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ as your Savior, comes inside of you and is trying to make the life of God apparent in you. It's trying to manifest the life of Christ in you. So Galatians 5:16 says, so I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. In other words, you have a choice to go against your lower nature. You have a choice to not listen to your anger, not listen to your insecurity. Sin does not have to rule over you anymore. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Sin does not have to be your master. You are mastered by whatever you yield to. Come on now. You watch certain stuff on television all the time, on the internet, late at night, looking at stuff you shouldn't be looking at. Pretty soon that you are mastered by that. That thing's got a hold of you. You start putting something in your arm, shooting something in your arm that you're not supposed to be shooting in your arm. It doesn't take long before you become mastered by what you yield to. You start smoking a little weed. Don't get me started. Come on now. I don't care if the government said it's okay. But I can tell you a little differently, because I know people who've gone from marijuana to heroin and graduated and become addicted. And they went from one drug. Now, I know there's people with medical problems and they need pain relief. That's different. And I'm not trying to say to be heartless about that. But you got to be careful what you yield to. You yield to anger and you're going to be an angry person. If you are a very me-first, self-centered person, people eventually don't want to be around you. Come on now. Got people coming in for counseling. Pastor, nobody wants to be around. And I say, well, what kind of person are you? Well, you know, I find fault with everybody. Well, there's your reason right there. You know, as God, you know, you and I are great. We have a great relationship. But all these nasty people you created, they're so annoying. You know, I mean, we have this attitude like, but if you yield to God, you say, no, I'm not going to be self-centered. God, help me to be a Christian today. This is a process. You cannot be a Christian for God. You can only be a Christian with God. Amen. You need the shepherd in your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. So that's why you may have heard me say this many times in this church, and I'll keep on saying it. We need to be more God-conscious than self-conscious. Why do I say that? I say that because I've learned over the years that the only way to grow, the only way to gain liberty, the only way to fulfill my potential as a Christian is to constantly yield to the Holy Spirit and His work in my life. Somebody say amen. I need to have spiritual thinking. I need to have Spirit-inspired ideas, Holy Spirit-inspired impulses that go against the impulse of the flesh. Jesus explains to His disciples, when they couldn't understand what He was saying, He was talking to them about eating His body and His blood. He said, unless a man eats my body and drinks my blood, they have no part. They were like freaking out. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but that's the way our young people would say it today. They were freaking out because they would say, well, is he advocating cannibalism? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, He says, you have no part of me. See, they were looking at it from the natural. And Jesus said to them, why are you being so upset? Many of them walked away and did not follow. You could read it in John 6. They did not follow Him after that teaching because they thought this is a hard teaching. But what Jesus was saying was spiritual. He said, the flesh profits nothing. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The words that I'm speaking to you, when they were all upset, He says, try to get this, guys. The words I'm speaking to you are spiritual words. These are spiritual. I'm giving you an illustration of something that's spiritual. You need to depend on me for your life. My body sacrificed for you and my blood that is sacrificed for you is your nourishment. It's not a natural thing that we're actually participating in somebody's flesh and blood, God forbid. But it's a spiritual thing. He's saying that blood that I shed on the cross, my body which was broken for you, is now your life. That's your source. That's your blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. I did it for you. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But that which is from the Spirit gives spiritual results. So if you want to be a more spiritual person, you've got to be open to listening to the Holy Spirit in your life. Some people have described it like a heightened conscience. It's the voice of God. Sometimes it's a small whisper. Sometimes you'll notice as you're reading the Bible and you read the Word and you ask God, say, God, speak to me from this Bible. And the Holy Spirit will open your understanding. All of a sudden, you'll see things in here that you hadn't seen before because God is giving you understanding by the Spirit. There are many examples in the Bible, in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit said to Peter, go here. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go here. The Holy Spirit said to disciples, wait, pray and fast. The Holy Spirit said, go to this city. No, don't go to that city. Go to the other city. The Holy Spirit is the new operating principle in our life. Amen? I don't have much knowledge about computers, but there's an operating system. Is there such a thing, Brother Dell? Is there operating system? Hardware, right? Is that the hardware? That's what the Holy Spirit is in us. He's the operating system in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That which of the Spirit gives birth to the Holy, to more of the spiritual results. And this is the will of God for every Christian. You know, we used to have the thinking that, well, there's certain real spiritual people in the church, and then there's the rest of us. You know, the real spiritual ones, they're the ones who go to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, you know. They're the ones who clap and shout and jump up and down. And so, but the rest of us, you know, we're really cool and we're too dignified for that. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't clap. I don't shout. I don't want to look foolish. Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm with you there. I'm very self-conscious sometimes and I don't like to be in the center of attention. I really don't. But when the Holy Spirit is working in my life, I've learned, don't worry about how it looks to people. It's God I want to please, not people. I want to please God. I don't care what people think. So Jesus, and I'll close with this morning. I want to continue next week. Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the Jewish celebrations on the Jewish calendar. As some of you know, they would build these temporary structures like booths, and they would put palm leaves over them. And it was to remember their time in the wilderness. It was a memorial to remember how God provided for them in the wilderness and how he made a way after their deliverance from Pharaoh. So they would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. It was 7 days. But on the seventh day, the greatest day of the feast, there was a certain ritual that the chief priests and the high priest would perform. And it was the pouring out of water that would be done in the sanctuary, in the temple, to signify the life of God, to thank God for this life-giving substance, the water of life. It also came to symbolize the Holy Spirit. And so on that seventh day, in John chapter 7, it just so happens to be, on the last and greatest day of the feast, you can put it up, if you would, put up the scripture. Jesus comes along while the priest is pouring this water to symbolize how God provided for the Jews. Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being or out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And this he spake, just in case you're not sure what he was talking about, he says it right here. This he spake concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would afterwards receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here's the difference. He's saying, you may understand things about God. You may even honor God because of the miracles he's done in the past and what he's done for your life. And you obviously would have reverence for him. But there's a difference between having God and trying to contain him within a natural, your natural world, your natural thinking, and allowing God to take charge of your life and letting him flow through you and letting him influence your direction and letting him be in the driver's seat. Big difference. Big difference when the Holy Spirit is in charge of your life. And I want to tell you, I'm still growing in this. I'm not there yet. I'm growing. So there's hope for all of us. We can be more Spirit-led. We can be more spiritual people by allowing the river of God not just to be contained in us, but by listening to the Word, listening to the Bible, and applying what it says. By saying no to sin, by saying no to our lower nature, by turning away from anger, turning away from insecurities, forgiving those who have hurt us in the past. God wants to give us a brand new life. And there's so many different ways you can describe life in the Spirit, but it is truly like a bubbling river that bubbles up inside of you. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Somebody wrote a song, "There's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see." Hallelujah. There's a river of life. Do you have a river of life in you today? If you're a Christian, you have it. You just got to release it. You got to release it. You got to be willing to go where God is going. You got to go against your own, even your own learned habits sometimes. I'll give you an example. Like, okay, I'll praise God like this, you know. But if pastor says, raise your hand, I'm not doing that. That's only for the crazy people. The people who raise their hand like that, you know. And it's not just about that. And it's not just about speaking in tongues. It's about having a spiritual sense. You know what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says, I will pray with the understanding, but I will also pray in the Spirit. Amen. I will sing with the understanding, but I will also sing in the Spirit. Amen. You see what he's getting at here? He's making the contrast between the natural way we do things and then the way of being led by the Spirit. And letting it come real from the real deep part of you. The heart that is in love with God, the spiritual man within you. which God is working on to make you overflow with His goodness. Hallelujah. Somebody give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. I want us to take some time this morning and do exactly what I said. We're going to forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him, like the old song says. Just forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. Let your worship come from your spirit. Brother, as you pray, here am I, the dwelling place that we were singing before, that your body will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that you'll start to sense this river of God. It's hard to describe. Nicodemus was a theologian. Stay with me, folks. Stay with me. He was a teacher of the Jewish nation. And he missed this point. He said, I'm religious. I follow the law. I practice everything to the T. And Jesus said, unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to be spiritually reborn. Hallelujah. And I want to make my heart a place where the Holy Spirit is comfortable, where God can flow from me to touch a needy world. How many of you see the needs of our world? How many of you want to be a blessing to the people around you? You can't do it without the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. You can't really change the world. The disciples, before the day of Pentecost, they were hiding behind closed doors. They were afraid. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? They were completely changed. They were bold. They were courageous. They weren't even afraid of being killed. Because they knew they were right in the center of God's will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather go to Timbuktu, wherever that is, with the Holy Spirit than to be in Orlando without the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to go where God's going. I want my heart to be a dwelling place for Him. All right? As we sing this, I want you all to come up this morning. We're going to take 5 minutes to worship and wait on God. Okay? Okay?